So the epistle for Septuagesima Sunday is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and 10. Brethren, know you are not that they that run in the race all run indeed, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every one that striveth for the mastery refraineth himself from all things. And they indeed that they may receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. I therefore so run not as an uncertainty. I so fight not as one beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all in Moses were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, and did not all eat the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. And they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with the most of them, God was not well pleased. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 20. That time Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like to a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And he said to them, go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you what shall be just. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and he did in like manner. But about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why stand you here all the day idle? They said to him, because no man hath hired us. He said to them, go you also into my vineyard. And when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith to his steward, call the laborers and pay them their hire, beginning from the last even to the first. When therefore they were come that came about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first also came, they thought that they should receive more. And they also received every man a penny. And receiving it, they murmured against the master of the house, saying, these last have worked but 1 hour. And thou hast made them equal to us that have borne the burden of the day in the heats. And he answering said to one of them, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take what is thine and go thy way. And I will also give to thee give to this last even as to thee. Or is it not lawful for me to do what I will? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So shall the last be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Please be seated. Why stand you here all the day idle? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today marks the transitional period. In Septuagesima, we have this transition that goes from the Christmas season that'll lead us into the Lenten time period. That is why the priests dressed in purple. Because with that, the church is trying to help us then to move from this joyful Christmas season and then into the time period of penance, of thinking about what we need to do for the Lenten time period, the Lenten fast, to take that into consideration. And so with that, we can see with the epistle and gospel, this idea of, one, in the epistle, we have a race, a fight. St. Paul gives us these two analogies to try to help us to see that this life is one of endurance. This life is meant for us to try to get to heaven. And so he gives us these two analogies. Two analogies to try to consider. Okay, if we're in a race, we have to consider what kind of a race is it? Is it something that is short, and that we have a burst of speed and then we go? Or is it something that is more of an endurance, that we have to try to keep our conditioning, we have to try to keep to that? And so it's interesting to see how he gives this analogy with us, you know, with sports, say. You know, whether a race or whether a fight, there is a conditioning that is needed in order to receive the crown. And that is why he mentions to us that these people are working for something that is a perishable crown, something that will go away, something that they will not be able to take with them. But we, on the other hand, are working for an imperishable crown. We are working for something that, God willing, will take to heaven with us. But it's something that we must earn. It is something that we must try to gain through our hard work, through our conditions. And so that is why he reminds us of the fact that it is something that we must condition ourselves for, whether it's a race, whether it's a fight, or then to show to us the spiritual life itself. And the spiritual life is also something that we must, in a sense, condition ourselves for in order to receive that crown. Because if not, we will come up short. And I think that's why it's interesting to see how St. Paul talks about how one will receive the crown. We realize, obviously, with the imperishable crown for heaven, it is not relegated to just one person. But what he tries to give us the understanding to try to work toward is that it is something that we must try to work with all our strength to gain, as if it is only one person will gain this, as if there is only one thing that is held out to the winner. And so we must strive for that. We must work toward that. And so that is something that I think for all of us, we can understand in some ways or another. You know, whether we have played sports or whether we have done different things, that we realize, okay, there is one person that may try to gain this crown, whether it's academics, whether it's, you know, sports, as I say. There's one person that is maybe trying to gain this, and we work as hard as we can to try to gain this. And so that is why he gives us this analogy, to try to help us to understand that. And so that's why he gives us this idea of a race that is one of endurance. It is no good for us if we just have these spurts. And we have the zeal for a moment, we go spurting out to try to then gain this crown, but then all of a sudden we hit a brick wall and then we stop completely. We stop in our spiritual life, we stop in our duties, we stop praying. It can't be that way for us. We must realize that the spiritual life is a long period of time. God only knows how long. God knows how long he is going to have us on this earth. And that is why the understanding that we must try to be ready each day of our life when God calls us. But from that is why it's so important for us to understand that with this race, if we're trying to gain this crown will come to the ones that persevere to the very end. It'll give to us that understanding that we have to make it to the very final end of the race in order to gain this crown. And that is what we're working for. And the same thing then we can say for a fight. It is the one that will score it at the very end. Maybe we have some rough rounds or different things of that nature. We get hit around, beaten around. And all of us, we can look at that in terms of the spiritual life, different temptations, different trials and crosses that God has permitted us to undergo. And so maybe we have felt like we've been beaten around. But it won't matter until the very end, until the scorecard comes out and who is determined the winner. And so God willing, we'll be the winner when we see that the scorecard makes it that we're in going to heaven. And that is what we must be fighting for. That is what we must be working toward. Is this whole idea, this concept of having to work for this imperishable crown, this one that will not go away. The things of this world, they are fleeting. I mean, even in a sense, we can say health, money, fame, honor, all of these things are fleeting. But the thing that is not fleeting in this life is meant for us is heaven. And that is what we are trying to strive for each day of our life. And I think that is why these two analogies are so fitting for us, in to understand that. To try to understand that that is what we are working toward, a crown of life everlasting. And that is the purpose of the sacraments, that is the purpose of you coming to Mass, the different spiritual duties, organizations, all of these different things are meant to help us to reach that end. And they are a means for that. And so that is why St. Paul brings this out for us. But then we see the gospel account. The gospel account, in some ways, is very similar. We get paid at the end of the day. But the interesting thing comes from that is to see the master of this vineyard. He goes out and hires people at the beginning of the day to say that you're going to work in my vineyard and I'm going to pay you a penny for the day. And that is the agreement that he made with them. But then as the master is going around, he sees that there are people that are idle. And that is why the question, why do you stand here idle? And they say, no one has hired us. We have, in a sense, no work to do. And so from that, what does the master of this vineyard do? He hires them out for a penny a day. The same exact figure that he had offered to the ones that started the day. And so for him, it is something that he is making an agreement with all those that are going to work. I'm going to give them the same amount, one penny. And so throughout the day, he does the same thing at the third hour, at the sixth hour, at the ninth hour, and then finally at the 11th hour. And maybe you're familiar with that term, the 11th hour. We think about if we do something in the 11th hour, it is doing something at the last minute. I was afraid some of my students, for their Prescendi term papers, they were doing it at the 11th hour. Maybe not. I was hoping they weren't. But it is something that you do at the final end, at the very end, the last moment that you can do it. And so the spiritual authors have talked about this understanding of working in the vineyard. What does it mean? It is working for our salvation. And so it is at the time that God calls us. You know, maybe we were called from the very beginning to serve Almighty God. We think of someone like St. Catherine of Siena. At age 4, she was receiving visions of God. Age 4, you know, we think about ourselves probably or our children at that age. We doubt they're receiving visions of God, at least not with the way that they're acting. But here you have one that was called by God at such a young age, and she continued to serve Almighty God throughout her life, finally ending up as a canonized saint. But then maybe some of us have been converted from another religion, we've converted later in our life, and we've been called at different hours at that time. If we've lived a good life, what will be the reward for us? God willing, it will be heaven. Whether we're called at the very beginning of our life, whether in the middle of our life, or even a deathbed conversion, God in his infinite mercy may call us even at that time. And the reward is the same at that moment. Now, is God evil for doing that? Is God not good because he has granted that reward? Well, obviously not. It depends on when we accept the graces of God. Obviously, it's much better for us to accept these graces early in our life. But God, in his infinite wisdom of the plan of the entire world, calls souls at different hours. And so that is that understanding of this. That is why then the master says, you know, is it wrong for me to do what I did? Did I not pay you what I told you I would pay you? Because that's what he says to them, friend, did I not offer to you what I told you I would give you? You know, what does it matter to you if someone else is getting something for less work? What does it really matter to you? I mean, how can we refer to an injustice when none of us are owed heaven? Heaven is a gift from Almighty God, so none of us are owed that. Granted, we must work toward that. But if God has determined that someone works 50 years and someone works 5 years or 100 years, what does it matter? We should be all working toward the same goal, all helping each other toward that goal, working together in the vineyard. And that is what we must be trying to do with our lives. And so if we understand that we have received this grace from God, then we must accept it. We must realize that and accept it now and work toward that. But that is why then also, hopefully through our example, through maybe giving people things to read, we can help convert other people. And what does it matter how old they are at that time? And truly we can say some of the greatest mercies of Almighty God are people that later in their life they are converted. Because there you can see clearly the hand of God in it. You can see it clearly in how God has chosen this soul to be saved. Do we wait for that? No. Because we do not know the day nor the hour. And so if we have been given the grace of the faith, we must accept it now. We must work toward that goal now. And so that is why we must try to work toward our salvation, this call to perfection. It is called at different hours for us, yes. But when God has called us, and we know that call is there, we must accept it. Because otherwise, yes, we're standing around idle. Idleness is the workshop of the devil. Because it's a shame if we are not working toward our salvation, if we're not working toward that, if we're idle, if we're not doing anything. So when we look at this Mass and we see it at the start, the Septuagesima, as I say, it is the transitional period for us. It is a means to try to help us to move, grace ourselves into then the Lenten time period. And so it clearly shows to us what we are working toward Lent for. Lent is meant to help us to sanctify our soul, to help us to be more pleasing to God. And so through the analogies of St. Paul with his race, with his fight, he clearly shows to us that we have to try to gain that crown, the imperishable crown for heaven. But then also when we look at the gospel account of this idea of working by the sweat of our brow, we know that was the punishment of Adam for falling from the state of grace. That he must work for the sweat of his brow in order to get to heaven. And so that has been the lot for all of us because of that fall. And so therefore it is quite fitting then. We understand this idea of work. We must also understand when God calls us, we must listen. When God calls us to this life, we must work toward it. We can't stand around idle. Because as I say, we know not the day nor the hour that God will call us. And what if he calls us at the moment when we're idle, when we're not working toward that goal? God forbid. And so therefore, when God calls us, we must listen and we must obey. And we must work toward that goal. The goal which is an imperishable crown, something that is not fleeting to us. It is the only crown that is worthwhile going toward. So pray for these graces, ask for these graces from Almighty God. And we see how clearly that our Lord says it at the very end of the gospel. You know, that many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called to work for their salvation, but few actually do it. Whether it's laziness, whether it's idleness, whatever it may be, they don't heed the call of God. And so therefore, if we have this call, we must work toward that. And then we can say with St. Paul, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, and there is laid up for me a crown in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.